Hi, everybody. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind here on WBAI 99.5 FM on your dial. Bringing you ideas, concepts, and guests to help you lead a more positively minded life. Do you ever get suddenly sandbagged? You think you got everything under control, and then somebody hits you with something at the last minute, and boom, your whole life goes out of order? Or just something from nowhere? Especially when that person is like somebody close to you, but they're a little nuts, you know? Let's say you're under pressure. You say your deadlines are looming. Everyone is making demands on your time. Your anxiety level is rising. Your stomach is in knots. So you do what you've been well trained to do. You make sure you do your exercise. You make sure you try to calm down. You do all that stuff. But, you know, if you get under a certain amount of tension and you feel yourself disorganized and having a bad time, sometimes you can't take care of yourself. Sometimes you don't know what to do. Sometimes you go to the alternative. You'll go get a drink. Sometimes you'll go get some food. Sometimes you'll try to escape into an addiction of some kind, or sometimes you'll go to sex or something like that, just to do anything to get the anxiety off your head. But now we have some new information. Neuroscientist Stephen W. Porges, P-O-R-G-E-S, if he's right, there's an even better way to get rid of stress. Exercise has its uses. Meditation has its uses. But if, as a real stress fighter, the trouble with exercise is it works on a visceral level. And it's the operative word is fight. The way that you deal with your stress is you basically combat the excess levels of cortisol that you have in your brain, and instead of it just being that was in your brain and your mind was sensing a stress, by doing exercise when you're stressed, your body gets the message that the stressor needs more of your body. So you distribute the stress to your entire body, which is why you feel less psychological stress. But you may feel some aches and pains. So the question here is whether exercise can be an antidote for stress and chaos, and the answer is perhaps no. Perhaps there is a different way that we could do it. And perhaps that way, good idea, but it doesn't seem to work. It's like, how many people do you know that meditate on a regular basis but who've got shoulders, trapezius muscles that are like rocks? You know, they meditate and they get it out of their mind, but they throw it into their bodies. Of course, those who meditate say, no, we don't, because you don't feel it. So we're saying there's a question. The most efficient stress reducer might work more directly. I could prove to you, or I think we can prove to you, that there is a power through a smile, for example, because it works on the trigeminal nerve, which is the facial nerves, and it has the power to undo stress better than a half-hour workout. And here's how we're going to prove it. Also, engaging others socially, you know, going out, you know, if you're under a lot of stress, doing something social, hanging out with your friend Mike, hanging out with, you know, one of your buddies, doing something social that does not have a stressor in it might also work, and we're going to talk about that. Here's the way it works. We want to calm the heart. We want to relax the gut. We want to switch off fear. Now, these are important components of feeling anxious and nervous and at your wit's end. The path from sociability to tranquility is paved by none other than the vagus nerve. Now, this gets a little complicated, but the vagus nerve, a very important part of your body, It's the main route of the parasympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system. It's the way the parasympathetic branch of the autonomic nervous system is that part of the autonomic nervous system that helps you relax, digest, repair cells, sleep. That's the passive, the parasympathetic part, whereas the sympathetic part is the part of you that is active, the fight or flight reaction that you feel when you're under stress. The major nerve we have to affect is the vagus nerve, because the vagus nerve is the direct route to the parasympathetic system. Does this make sense? Good. Good. I hope so. I'm trying to make something very complex relatively simple. Now, the vagus nerve doesn't actually go only directly to one spot. It wanders from the brainstem to the body, carrying signals to the organs as well, like the heart, the lungs, and the intestines, and it regulates the facial muscles in addition. So the heart, the lung, the muscles, the vagus nerve, and the facial muscles. These are important because the vagus nerve, remember, is the path that goes to the parasympathetic system, which is the relaxation place. So if we're going to get relaxed, we want to go in through the vagus nerve, and we want to relax your stomach, your heart, your facial muscles, your intestines, your lungs, all these things that you think you have no control over, and you generally have no control over. So what's new? I mean, what have we learned? We've learned this terrific thing. The vagus nerve also influences the heart rate and breathing. It's intimately involved in how we perceive, react to, and recover from stress. When the vagus nerve is activated, the heart rate slows, your blood pressure drops, and the body enters a state of physical calm. If your vagus nerve is non-activated, then you're hypertense, you tend to react, you tend to stress. So clearly, activating the vagus nerve is the very best path to countering stress. Now, this is opposed as to going down to the gym and doing 40 laps or lifting weights. Because in the other case, remember, we said we're putting the stress from your mind into your body. Here, we're taking your mind and we're saying, okay, it's in the mind. How do we turn a switch in the mind to reroute this train? We've got a train that's going on a track, and it's a train that's getting more and more, building up steam. You're getting more and more nervous. You're getting more and more angry. You're getting more and more irritable, and that's the way you're going. And you're watching yourself doing it. You're saying, oh, darn it, what am I doing? I'm yelling at people. I'm getting irritable. I'm getting annoyed at everybody. If only you could switch the track and say, instead of taking my body and my mind on this track of pure destruction, how could I switch the track? How could I just pull that little lever like they do in trains, or at least we do in toy trains, pull that lever and then have the train go onto the vagus nerve? Oh, which is pillowy and nice and soft and gentle, and it has clouds and, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Okay, so that's the job we have. Activate the vagus nerve. Over time, nature has liberated a three-tier system of wiring to enable us to respond to immediate risk. The three are concerned with sorting out safety from danger, friend from foe. That's the main purpose. Perception. Safety from danger, friend from foe. When you look and you see, you're trying to sort that out. When you are under high stress tension, you are seeing foe and you are seeing danger. You're not seeing safety and you're not seeing friend. If you're in a sympathetic kind of stress overload, you don't even see friend. Everything is like, I wonder who's going to do something to me next, right? And then the other thing that you do is you feel that there's a lot of danger. I got to take care of this. I got to take care of that. If I don't call this person, I must do this. I have to answer to that. So if we could just get you to see safety instead of danger, and if we could get you to feel friend instead of foe, we reroute the train from the sympathetic nervous system over to the vagus nerve, which will carry you to the parasympathetic nervous system, where you fall asleep. Hopefully you're not driving the train. This is Armand DeMille with you, with The Positive Mind, here on WBAI 99.5 FM. We are trying to teach you things that are new. Neuroscience, as they call it, new row science. It sounds like something you do with a boat, a new row science. Neuroscience. Older and more rudimentary among the response strategies that we have, you know, we have these two strategies. You know, we could get either push, we could either get fight or flight, right, is one, or we could relax in the face of any stimulus. Got it? Stimulus comes up, we could look at it and say, ah, nothing to worry about. Or we could look at it and we could say, ah, you better worry about it. Or we could look at it and say, oh my God, you better worry about it. But there's another one that we have that we had that's much more ancient, which is to shut down, freeze, and immobilize. There are people who freeze and immobilize under stress. They just can't move. Sometimes they get depressed. It's accomplished through an older version, believe it or not, of the vagus nerve, of all things. The ancient version of the vagus nerve, the one that came from the other side, you know, from the old country, the vagus nerve from the old country, what it used to do, it didn't know that it had access to these relaxation things, so what the vagus nerve would have done is if you were under stress, it would just shut you down. Go to sleep. Go to sleep, then I could get you to relax and I could get you sleep. The old vagus nerve only had one way of dealing with stress besides fighting or running. It would bop you in the head with a big stick and make you unconscious. It would just knock you out. And we know a lot of people who react that way. It's like a deer who freezes in the headlights. There's danger, you know, but they freeze. They can't move. A lot of animals freeze. They just can't move. They don't do anything. You, I'm sure, you've had times of pressure where somebody confronts you with something and you feel like your boss says to you, you know, I've got to let you go. And you're, ah, you don't know what to say. And you freeze in your spot. And he says, oh, I'm glad you're taking it so well, you know. But you couldn't have said anything because you were frozen. That's an old vagus response. So we have three responses, you know. We could fight, flee. We could access the vagus nerve and try to find some way to really relax, or we could do the old vagus nerve, which is available, which is to shut down completely, which is, it's so primitive that it's a holdover from our invertebrate past. And it barely is functional. It's barely possible to shut down like that anymore. Used to be able to do it, but we no longer have the real mechanism. It's just available. But not available much. Now, so here we are. There's this old vagus nerve, which, and then there's this new vagus nerve. The new vagus nerve is kind of the pinnacle of our evolved capabilities. You see, if you take, this is Armand DeMille, in case you just tuned in, we're talking about dealing with stress, and we're teaching you new information that we've just learned about neuroscience, about how you can relax and access your more relaxed self when you're under stress, other than exercising or meditating, other than moving to your body in one form or another. This way in particular, this understanding is tremendous information. So now we have the new vagus nerve and the old vagus nerve. The old vagus nerve is the shutdown nerve. The new vagus nerve, which is the one we like because it gives you access to the parasympathetic system, which helps you relax. The new vagus nerve is connected. It's really beautiful. I mean, it links the cranial nerves from the face, the voice, the ears, and it links the ears, the face, and the voice with the heart, the lungs, and the gut. Links. Now, of course, you know this because your hearing can make you hungry. You know what I mean? You could hear something cooking, and it could trigger a stomach reaction. You could smell something, right? And it could make you think of a certain kind of food. So you know that connection. Your heart could beat fast, and when you see something, and so it's now, your ears might hear something like a clap of thunder. And you might feel panic, and your heart will go real fast, because there's this direct connection now, you see? Used to just shut you down. Now we have a direct connection. So you think it works against you. Once you get worried, concerned, because of this connection of the vagus nerve from your facial nerves to your heart, you will make a face that shows your stress. Like right now, if you don't understand what I'm talking about, you could be furrowing your brow. If you're feeling real comfortable, you could be sitting back and you could be smiling. Your face is going to manifest what you feel. So if your face manifests what you feel in fear, right, or in panic, or in distress, it's pretty hard to fight it. We learn to fight it. We learn not to show it. We try to access the old vagus nerve to say, shut it down, but it doesn't work too well. Your face is going to show your stress, unless you've had a lot of Botox injections or facelift. I saw somebody the other day with so many facelifts, their face had no expression left. It had none, and they were incapable of expression, which is important, and we're going to talk about why Botox is related to this very information we're talking about and how it's related. Remind me to get back to that, okay? Okay, so let's stay on this for a minute. Now, the vagus nerve is connecting your face to your heart and to your mind. Therefore, if there is a negative expression on your face, the heart and gut is going to, and lungs are going to react, and it's going to give you a stress reaction. It's going to complete the stress circle. However, and you can all do it now. Here it comes. You ready? Everybody listening, do this at once. We may change the planet. If we all slowly smile, not a fake smile, screw up your smile. Ready? We'll do it now. We're going to go do it with you. Let your smile come on. Let it be contagious to your eyes. Let your facial muscles move. It's got to move the muscles, your cheeks. You have to feel them move. Try to sense your ears involved in your smile. They are. Hang in there and watch your heart calm down. Oh my gosh, my friends, it took all this science to learn you could let a smile be your umbrella on a rainy day. I mean, it's really true. You can, through using certain exercises that are in effect proving to the neural system that there is no danger, one of the things you could do is really a smile. And it means you work at this. It means you take this not as just, you know, your parents saying to you, well, why don't you smile? No. It's not why don't you smile. It is your smile is your new weapon. Everybody out there, if you haven't tried it yet, try it again right now. Try it now. That smile is your new tool for accessing your higher self. What if you don't feel like smiling? That's exactly when you should smile. Because it's not smile for other people to see you smile. This is a smile for your own heart, for your own lungs. I mean, in effect, what we've just learned is that your lungs are looking at you. And they're saying, hey, how's he feeling today? You know, lung talks to heart, or right lung talks to left lung. What should we do today? Should we breathe fast, or should we breathe slow? Should we breathe deep? Well, I don't know. Let's take a look. And the lungs somehow look in the mirror, and they look at your face. Oh, he's got a miserable look on his face. We better breathe shallow and deep, shallow and fast. Oh, my God, look at that look. Oh, look, he's got so much worry. Let's breathe even faster. That's what the lungs will do. But then the lungs, instead, if they look out and they see a smile, they say, oh, we could do long, deep breaths today. You know, whew, take off your armor-plated vest. You know, take it off. Take off your bulletproof vest. Relax. We're going to a day at the beach today because he's smiling or she's smiling. The other part of it, of course, your heart also listens. Your heart wants to know, do I have to beat fast? Do I have to send blood through this entire body? Do I have to go for the big muscles? I have to send blood to the big muscles because there's a danger out there. How am I going to know, says the heart? to your body. It says to you, how am I going to know? What are you going to tell me if there's danger or not? And the heart says, I know what I'll do. I'll look at your face. And it looks at your face, and if it sees you like you're nervous and worried, it beats faster. But your heart can actually look at your face, and if your face is smiling, your heart says, there's nothing to worry about today. I think I'll go to the beach with the lungs. Hang out a bit, you know? We're always around in case anybody needs us. This is Armand DeMille with you with The Ridiculous Mind. Here on WBAI 99.5 FM, brought to you to bring you information like this, my friend, so that you could learn tools, weapons, ways of elevating your vagus nerve. You know? You got a nice Vegas? Let's go to Vegas. There you are, right there. Let's go to Vegas. You can go to Vegas very easily. Just smile. Okay. Social engagement is the other thing that creates the sense of safety and calms the viscera. So no matter how upset you are, if you socially engage in any kind of way, it doesn't have to be with a lot of tension and it doesn't have to be with a lot of love, but any kind of social engagement helps that tension. If you're somebody who feels miserably tense and you go to work, just by going to work, you have to get better. Because there's a social engagement at work. There's a social engagement, and the best kind of social engagement is a shared thought, a shared experience, you know, a movie, a museum, or something like that, or just being with people that you know. It doesn't have to be a lot of anything. But when you're with people, you find that you relax more. Doing that, getting in your social circles helps you a lot. Social interactions are also very important in our experience as human beings, and the social engagement system determines the quality of these interactions. The power of the system is amazing on the effects that it has on behavior and the mental states. So there we are, my friends, you know. Think about this. Get together with a couple of friends, screw on a couple of smiles. If you don't get together with friends, screw on a smile anyway. Bring up your smile. Lift up your smile. I was going to talk about Botox. Botox, they take Botox to kind of get around the wrinkles around the side of your face. And what happens is, as you move the wrinkles around your eyes and around your lips, you lose the ability to cry. You lose the ability. You can't cry anymore. And you can't furrow your brow. When you can't furrow your brow, your body gets very confused. Because even when you're in danger, you feel danger, but your face can't respond. You freeze your face. Nature has had no way yet to deal with a frozen face. So like I said, I saw a woman the other day was walking down the street in a beach town, and she had a frozen face. Clearly, all the Botox and facelifts. She couldn't move a thing on her face besides her lips. She talked like a bird, nothing moved but her lips when she spoke, because she looked very youthful, because she had not a line on her face, but it was all done through chemistry. And it means that the body no longer has a reference point. It says, what are you feeling? And you look up and there's nobody home. I don't know what we're feeling. So now when the body figures you don't know what you're feeling, what do you think the body does? It panics because it can't go to its reference point, your face. So it's very important, my friends, when considering all these alternatives, to want to have as much around as possible. So distraction by another novelty can be alluring during a time of stress. It bypasses the vagus nerve entirely. It works at cross purposes to it, distraction. So it's not necessarily good. If your gut's in a knot, a new and strange input could aggravate you or give you the jitters. So newness is not necessarily good. So that it's, even though it may be helpful at the moment, it's like exercise. It may be helpful at the moment. It's not doing the job. The thing we want to do is go on the simple path. Our reaction to danger and the mobilization of defense systems rather than the engagement system of the defense systems. We want to mobilize defense systems It happens automatically. It's not voluntary. It happens all inside you. The one thing you could do is you could affect it. And you could affect the stress that you're feeling every day by doing two things. Making a social contact, how little it is, the social contact will help tell your body you're safe. Because remember, there are two things it's looking for. Friend or foe, right? It just wants to determine enemy or friend. And the other it wants to determine is danger or safety. So if you send it, if you do any friendly gesture, if you talk to the man who delivers your mail and have an exchange about the incredible amount of junk mail that passes through, if you just talk about it or you talk about the heat outside, any of that, that engagement relaxes you. It may not seem important to you, but every engagement does something for you. And these messengers of the world, these angels of the world, like doormen, bus drivers, cab drivers, people who have the ability to engage casually without aggravating, they're angels. They're sent down here to be our little conversationalists. And it makes you feel good if you get the right ones. I guess there are devils, too. Some of them come down, they get in a conversation with me, and I say, oh, no, more work. This is Armand DeMille with the Positive Mind. So a listening company, you want to seek support when you want to calm down. You want to unloose your facial muscles, your eyes, your mouth, and your ears. Right? Now, hearing is a very important thing. When you hear, you could either hear irritation by isolating, or you could hear the chorus of total sound. I train my ears to hear the chorus of total sound. So therefore, if there's a jackhammer outside your window, as there is outside my window right now, it becomes part of the environmental sound, and I could welcome it in a little better than if I just keep it there isolating it and saying, it's that horrible jackhammer. So you've got to use your ears and retrain your ears so that it could hear the harmony of everything, as opposed to just isolating one thing. You want to lower the volume in your life. You want to keep things down as low as possible. Try not to turn that TV volume up. Try to get it down. Try to get your music down. Try to get volume down. Every way, you want to seek support from families and friends. You want to talk to people. Face-to-face is best, but the phone is not bad. And I think the cell phone is a marvel that people could go sit down, have a cup of coffee, and call up their sister and have lunch with their sister. That's amazing. And then all the other things, of course, that you learn about regulating your heart and your respiration through yoga and yogic breathing and deep meditation and all the other things come into play in staying sane. The main trick we learned is it's nice to smile. We're going to take a short break, my friends. It is just coming up to about 1:30 here at WBAI. And then what'll I play? Oh, I've got two choices. But I do have this one that's haunting me that I want to play for you today. It's about that feeling when you're overwhelmed, you know, when you get so overwhelmed that you just wish you could just drop it all. We'll be back with you in a couple of minutes, at which time I'll play you my music.
One of these mornings. It won't be very long.
Patti LaBelle. Patti LaBelle, Michael, I know you're going to get calls about that one. Patti LaBelle with Moby. With Moby, of all people. One of these mornings. Now, why that song touched me so much when I first heard it, and I was doing this research on stress, I said, you know, so many people have the fantasy of one day I'll just get up and go. But then I always test the music out. I played it for a few people, and one person said, oh, she's saying one day she's going to be dead. And I thought about it from that perspective, you know, that if you think about it, one of these mornings, I'll be gone. Each one of us can say that. One of these mornings, I'll be gone. You're going to look for me, and I'll be gone. One of these mornings, your cat's going to look up and say, oh, where is she? And you'll be gone. So that's one deep thought. Well, just as I'm having that deep thought, a book falls by my lap, which is written for widows. So now here's this concept. I mean, of course it's a draggy concept, and here we are with Armand Miller on The Positive Mind, and I want you to feel good. But, you know, I love, and I love the way consciousness feels. So then I get this book, and I open it up to one page. One page! A book for widows only. It's not written for widowers. It was a woman wrote this, and it's just a bunch of quotes for women. And it's, if I don't know the name of it, but if you want to get it, just send me an email and I'll find you the name of the book. But she says, write his name on the sand when you go to the beach and watch the tide wash over it. While the name may no longer be there, the memory is. I felt that right through my heart. A beautiful thing. Write your name, write his name on the sand when you go to the beach. Watch the tide wash over it. And with the name no longer there, the memory is. A beautiful thing. This is Armand DeMille with you at The Positive Mind. So we're talking about trying to reprogram our brains to not take stress on as seriously so that it won't hurt us. And we all know the stress, the pain and the suffering and the difficulty with our physical system that stress could do to us. So we want to kind of keep it at a minimum. We don't want to get aggravated. We don't want to have the jitters. We don't want to be in a knot. We don't want to be jumping at things, you know. One weapon we learn, two weapons we learn, be with friends. Try to find some social engagement, even if they're not close friends, just be around people. Number one. And number two, get that smile working. Even now, don't forget. Okay, now, what you should not do, do not use exercise as a way of getting stress. Getting rid of stress. It doesn't work. It just shoves it into your body. Now, you may think this is a good thing, I'm taking it out of my mind and putting it into my body, but no. Don't use exercise as a way of getting stressed because you haven't gotten rid of it. Get the other things working first. Try exercise with a smile. Try slower exercise. Try something gentle. I was in a gym the other day and I saw a man punching a punching bag. He had on boxing gloves and he was killing this thing. I mean, he was, if it couldn't breathe, it was calling for mercy. You know, he was punching it, and as he's punching it, he was laughing. And I said to myself, oh, this poor guy, you know what I mean? All but medication. I mean, here's a guy who is in, he's laughing as he's punching, and you just see this whole power thing going in his mind as the way he's dealing with his stress. We don't want to be punching as a way to get rid of our stress. We don't want to be straining as a way of getting rid of our stress. That's not the way to do it. Want to go in the other route. That's the old way. The old way was good for the old people, for the people from the other side of the tracks, from the people from the old country, you know? The old country meaning, you know, the Serengeti when we were there, or when we were monkeys in trees. That was good. Not good now. So we want to take that. So we don't want to use exercise. We don't want to force ourselves to endure a stressful situation. That means don't stay in a stressful situation if you feel stress building. Find an exit. Find a way out of it. Right? I have an assistant who came back yesterday after being away on vacation for a week, and she walked in the place, and she had a lot of work added up on her, and she was working very hard. And I said, Paula, take a walk. Get out of here, you know, because you need to take a walk. She says, oh, I need to go to the bank. I said, go beyond that. Go beyond that, because you just got back from a place where you were on vacation, and you came back, and the stress was building on you. Get a good opportunity to be able to move a bit. And don't isolate yourself from people when you're upset. When you're upset, try to get around people. And I mean that could be reduced to even going to a movie. I don't know exactly about this yet, but somebody tells me that the movie Evan Almighty, I haven't seen it, is not just a stupid film. That people of good caliber have been going and laughing together. I haven't seen it, but it's an idea like that. Do something decent. Do something that might be lighter. Don't get angry or take it personally when people aren't up to social engagement. If they avert their gaze and speak without inflection, respond calmly and with patience. Let people have room. So if you say to somebody, hey, I need to, you know, can we get together after work? And they say no, don't take it as a personal rejection. Most people are usually not available at the last minute. So if you can get them available at the last minute, it's a wonderful thing. Don't spend too much time online on the computer. You do not get your stress reduced. And don't go with high-tech, solitary in entertainment, like any form of it. High-tech, solitary in entertainment. You know, one would imagine that part of the reason that people want pornography, for example, is because they want a sexual release which helps them relax, but they will all tell you it doesn't really help them to relax. Right? All of that sexual stimulation and release with all the computers and, you know, the TVs and stuff, it doesn't work that way. Smile, shake hands, and we are using the most modern techniques possible. We are using the greatest of neuroscience. You are using this, let this smile take care of you, is now the very latest cutting edge of neuroscience. This is Armando Mel with you at the Positive Mind. We're going to take your calls. I'm with you today. I'm not with you on July 4th. There's special programming at WBAI. Be back with you on July 5th, Thursday. But we're going to take some telephone calls at 212-209-2900. That's 212-209-2900. 212-209-2900. What are we talking about? Well, you know, it's kind of the higher road. You know, remember the higher road to education? This is the higher road to relaxation. This is the way that you could get to relax a little faster. I want to talk about palabres for a moment. Palabres, is I've introduced this to you before. It's a language that I've identified. It's a language where people talk. And the essence of the talking is that it doesn't seem to have any effect in reducing stress. It only seems to have effect in raising stress. People are talking palabres when they talk to each other in such a way that makes each other tense. Why don't you do babadabadabadab, 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 and it's kind of a banter that goes back and forth. I call it palabres because it really seems to be slowly increasing tension, but not at all meant to be just a reducing tension contact. We try to talk because talking is a communication tool for being able to make things more effective with each other and therefore less stressful. Talking was invented as an anti-stressor. See? Communication. That's why we want communication rather than hitting each other. You know, we want communication. It's meant to reduce stress. 212-209-2900. Let's take one of your calls. This is Armand DeMille. Hi, you're on the air.
Yes, good afternoon. You have a great show.
Thank you.
I wanted to ask you about the smiling technique.
Sure.
Does it have to be with intent?
No.
In other words, can you fake it?
Yes. In fact, that's the idea.
Ah.
See, the idea is you, everything inside you doesn't want to do it because you feel sour, you feel miserable, you feel stressed. You're going to produce it because it's going to make you feel better. Did you ever get, let me ask you something, have you ever felt so bad, so rotten, that you don't know what to do, so you get dressed and you say, I'm going to dress up and put on my very best clothing and go for a walk?
I do it all the time.
Right. And what? Oh, you do. So you know what I'm talking about. Even though you feel miserable, why do you get dressed up to go out? Because when you dress up well, your body says, you're in better shape than I thought you were. Well, the smile is the same thing.
Well, the reason that I question your hypothesis is because I'm a smiler. Okay, I'm one of those people that smiles at everything.
Yeah.
Nervous energy, if you will. And I'm also a stressful person, and I've done the meditation, I've done the exercise, and I'm smiling all the time, and I can't see that it's relieving the stress.
Good. So that's a great question. I want you to let right now a smile emerge. Not let a smile appear that you think somebody else is going to see. You see, your smiles are used as a defense against people. Your smile is like it's meant for people to not see how stressed you are. So that's a very good defense. I like the idea of it. But there's another smile that you could bring on that will actually change your body, and you could do it now. Not the regular fake smile that you do, but a different smile, one that feels like you're just moving your face muscles.
I see.
Do you feel it?
Yes.
That's the one we're looking for.
Excellent.
It doesn't have to do what you do for other people.
I will work on that.
Let me know how it comes out.
I will. Thank you so much.
212-209-2900. This is Armand DeMille. Let's take another call. Hi, you're on the air. Hello there.
Yes, hi, I'm there.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Good. Lovely to hear your show.
Thank you.
Stress, my favorite topic. The reason why I was calling was on Sunday, I didn't sleep well because there was some construction going on and it was horrible trashing. And then I did all those things you said not to do. I felt like I was flipping out, so I tried to beat it out of me in the gym to change my state.
Huh?
And then I didn't feel well. I felt shaky, and I didn't want to go to a bar because I don't drink. And then I said, well, I don't want to shop it off. And I remember Tony Robbins had said that he had taken a group of manic depressives and he had them smile at the ceiling for 30 minutes when they were in a depressive episode. And when they came out of the smiling, they weren't depressed anymore. So, you know, I started smiling like an idiot walking down the street because I was so freaked out to try to relieve some of the stress. I really need tools.
Well, okay. One thing that they warn about is do not smile like an idiot.
People are staring at me, Armand.
Yeah, no, I understand. You see, that's a smile that's for them. Now, Tony Robbins was, and I remember Tony Robbins' research being a little bit flawed in this area.
Oh.
But what he was responding to, what he was suggesting, is that if a smile is held on a person's face for a long period of time, looking at the ceiling, it's because you're not getting the reaction. The smile is for your brain. The smile is for your heart. The smile is for your lungs. You are smiling at your lungs. See, you're not smiling at people. Now, people may happen to see you smiling at your lungs. They may happen to see you smiling at your heart. But that's what you're smiling at because you're telling your heart, it's okay, kitty. You slow down and you smile to your heart. Now, I know that's a hard image to do. So many people do it in a mirror. They look in a mirror and they smile at themselves. But remember, the organs that we're trying to do is we're trying to get the lungs, we're trying to get the heart, we're trying to get the gut to all respond to the smile as if there's no imminent danger, and that helps reduce the stress level.
Can you recommend a book or something? I remember I was in court a few months ago, and not that it did me any good. I was, like, white-knuckling it. I don't like to live like that and wake up like that. like to handle horrible situations that are stressful?
You mean just in general how to handle horrible situations
yes.
that are stressful?
There's so many of them for me.
There are so many books out there that it becomes stressful to even choose. So, no, but I'll think about it. And if you send me an email and ask me the question again, I'll see which one I recommend the most for you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for calling in.
Bye.
Bye. 212-209-2900. We'll take one more call. Hi, you're on the air. This is Armand DeMille. Hello there.
Hello, Armand?
Yes.
I have a situation which I'd like to present to you. I am very sociable and outgoing and happy during the day. But at night, I feel like I'm pounced on because I have really bad nightmares. And, you know, I am a therapist, and I've had therapy, and I don't know what to do about it.
Well, sounds like the old amygdala is going to work. You have horrible nightmares?
They're scary, yeah.
They're scary. Now, what have you tried to take in medications for sleeping?
Well, I don't take any medication.
Okay, you haven't tried any, right?
No, because I can fall asleep, but during the course of the night, I'm just, you know, I get these nightmares. And
do you get these nightmares, are they accompanied by any kind of heat? Do you feel like you're sweating?
No.
You just get, like, these terrible thoughts, images,
yeah,
pictures?
Yeah, scary situations, dreams that frighten me.
Yeah, give me an example of a dream that would frighten you.
Well, a recurring type of dream has to do with the fact that I'm lost and I'm in a dark, scary place with frightening people and no one will help me get back home, you know, and I'm panicked. That's just one. I have, you know, that's an example, but that's just one.
Let me give you an example. Let me tell you two things I know.
Okay.
When a dream is as rich as yours, with symbols as rich as your symbols are, there is a course of work. There is a form of therapeutic work that is so valuable,
yeah,
which is called the intense feeling work, where you take it and you actually live the dream in a therapy session, but you live it to its maximum. In other words, you become the child and you become in total panic, and the therapist creates the environment so that you go through it, and it's really fabulous.
Really?
Yeah, it's really fabulous. It's like I have a little mention of it on my website.
Uh-huh.
But when you have active dream images that you have, a therapist can take those and project those into a total life situation and have you in a room live out that dream and convince you that it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And then you dip into your dream life. And the therapist is with you down there, and you're exploring it. And there you find all the symbols and the attachments, even though you know, you personally know that you've always felt like a child who was lost, who couldn't find any guidance. But you know that about yourself already, even though that's what's manifesting in the dream. But it's deeper than that.
Mm-hmm.
See, we want to get to something even deeper than that layer of logical knowledge. And that's why it hangs on. So that's one bit of information. Second bit of information is that the amygdala, amygdala, the amygdala is a really fascinating organ, because what the amygdala does is it kind of fires and misfires in the middle of the night. And once it fires, once this thing starts going, a person doesn't know it, but then they have this danger signal going on in their brain. And so what the brain does is it senses amygdalic firing. It senses it. Here's this jolt of energy suddenly, and it could be just purely electrical. It could be chemical. And then the brain says, hey, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
There must be a danger. And then the brain creates a dream of danger to make up for the exercise that you feel, the energy you feel in the amygdala. And it happens so quick. It's simultaneous.
Wow.
So that's why when I asked you about medications, I don't recommend medications, but sometimes finding out what medications do gives you a hint as to what it's about. You've also tried taking some nutrients and stuff like that to go to sleep. What's the best one?
Nutrients?
Melatonin and stuff like
that.
That's
funny. I have an appointment with a nutritionist in about an hour.
Yeah, he or she will probably recommend melatonin.
Okay.
or kava-kava, but kava-kava is a little more delicate because you got to be careful with it. But they're probably going to recommend melatonin, which is another interesting experience. It's like, you know, drink a glass of warm milk.
Mm-hmm.
Has that same kind of energy in it somewhere.
But, Armin, may I just ask, is this normal for someone to have
no.
two lives, like
no,
a daytime
no.
and a sleeping life?
No, it's
I
not
normal.
I feel
so strange about myself.
It's not normal, of course. No, it's not normal. It's unusual.
This is
and
unusual.
It's like a glitch. It's like if your elbow twitched. If you had a twitching elbow, we'd say, is this normal? No, you have a twitching elbow. Let's find out what it's about. Let's fix it. But it's not crazy.
No,
it doesn't mean you're crazy.
It just means that you're... No, I just feel like they're out to get me at night. I mean, that sounds strange, but...
I know exactly what you mean. You mean like you're going to wake up and you're going to feel like you've been had. You know, they came and got you.
Yeah, exactly.
I know.
What about biofeedback?
No.
No, okay.
No, I would recommend the intense feeling stuff. If you want to learn more about it, give me a call. We'll talk.
Okay.
All right? At 212-757-4488.
Thank you so much.
Sure.
Okay,
and this
bye-bye.
Is Armand DeMille with you with The Positive Mind. We do have to get going, unfortunately. Fascinating information. My special thanks to everybody out there helping me with this. And I will be back with you on Thursday. I hope you spend your 4th of July in some way that proves... your Interdependence Day, you know, how we need each other, because we do. And I will be back with you tomorrow, Thursday at 1 p.m.
Cosmic Debris, Sunday mornings, 5 to 6 a.m. Music, sound, spoken word, the bird of the week, sonic surprises. Cosmic Debris, 5 a.m. Sundays on WBAI New York.
Come join WBAI at the 36th Annual International African Arts Festival for 5 exciting days of family fun and cultural entertainment. Starting Wednesday, July 4th, until Sunday, July 8th, located in the spacious Commodore Barry Park, downtown Brooklyn, near the Brooklyn Navy Yard. Gates will open from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Check out the electrifying African marketplace, spoken word artists, fashion and natural hair shows, African dance workshops, jazz entertainment, sponsored by the Central Brooklyn Jazz Consortium, and much, much more. Admission to the festival is free, but please come and make a donation. For directions and more information, call 718-638-6700. That's 718-638-6700. Or check out the website, www.iaafestival.org.
Moorish, Orthodox, Radio, Crusade, Anarchism for the Global City, Radical Environmentalism for the Concrete Jungle, Esoteric Explorations of the Secret History of Rebel Culture. Every Tuesday at midnight after the news on listener-supported, non-commercial WBAI 99.5.
That's the Morris Orthodox Radio Crusade taking place a little later on this evening. In fact, tonight at midnight after the news. You are tuned to listener-supported commercial-free community radio WBAI in New York City at 99.5 FM. Available online at WBAI.org. Coming up at 3 o'clock will be Talkback with Hugh Hamilton, taking aim with Ralph Schoenman and Maya Schoen. At 5 p.m. and the WBAI Evening News at 6 o'clock. On Wednesday, July 11th, that's next Wednesday, at 7 p.m. at the Strand Bookstore at 828 Broadway at 12th Street, graphic novelists Peter Cooper and Kevin Pyle will present their work in a slideshow presentation hosted by Forbidden Planet. Again, that's Wednesday, July 11th at 7 p.m. at the Strand Bookstore, Broadway at 12th Street. 158 in New York City, 80 degrees at 158. Up next, the Arts Magazine. Please stay tuned.